I won't take much time today introducing the shift from bad boasting, which is condemned in Romans 3, 26 and 27, the chapter that we jumped off in this excursion, hu un hi kakisis. Where then is the boasting? It's excluded, but he's talking about boasting in self. He's talking about a perversion of hallelujah. When that verse is translated into the Hebrew, halal is the root, you know, the feminine form of the noun, perversion, boasting in self. That's what's condemned. In the Greek, it sounds like an exclusive, saying it's excluded, all boasting's excluded. No, it isn't. The perversion is when you use halal, to take the Hebrew translation and say, Hallelujah Jing, or Hallelujah Pope, or Hallelujah Catholic, or Hallelujah Baptist, or Hallelujah Assembly of God, or Hallelujah Charismatic, or Hallelujah Pentecostal, bringing the focus to ourself. God wants praise. So do we. He deserves it. We don't. So I took an excursion on the right kind of boasting. Boasting in the Lord. Jeremiah 9 says that we should boast in understanding the nature of the Lord. So I've gone on an excursion on right kind of boasting. Today, I take you to the 27th Psalm. Last Sunday was the 23rd. Today, the 27th. I've written the Hebrew, Arabic, Ethiopic, the opening words. Go to Psalm 27. I want to show you something. I don't know if there's a camera that can pick this up. But see, I've color-coded the chapter in my Bible. Look at that. Up here is a whole series of colors. The pink, the yellow, the blue, the green, the orange. And I've rearranged this psalm. I mean, David was extemporaneous. And he was pouring it out. But I've rearranged it for myself. It works better rearranged. I mean, he starts where he ought to start. But I want to end where he started. And I want to start in the area where he ends. You know, sometimes David is so overcome by his problems that he spends most of the psalm on his problems. And then he gets around to the answer. This is one where he surprised me. He starts out on the right note. Then he slips and slides and ends up saying, in the italics of the 13th verse, I have fainted. No, I don't really see David fainting. And that really is a gap in the original filled in by the translators. But can I rearrange Psalm 27 for you and you can write in the margin, my nutty pastor did this. Except don't say that to my face. I'm starting with that 13th verse. I had fainted unless I had believed. And I'm going to come back to that. But where I want to start is where all of us are as I lead us toward praise. Where are we? I wish you had colored pencils so you could color pink on these few words. In the land of the living. Now, you are alive, aren't you? What's it like in the land of the living? You know, my wife did something out of her own impulse last night. She talked to the father of one of the young people that works for us. And whether your parents know it or not, you've unloaded from your parenting onto their spiritual father the finishing job. And there's no way, I mean, I can't tell you the hours we grieve when we realize that this would be like General Schwarzkopf if he has a heart, and he does. Or George Patton, to go back to the old blood and guts general that saved the world, really, from Nazism. If you ever saw that movie of Patton, you saw the range of emotions as he knelt and prayed in the field hospital, comforting first the wounded, because he had been there, and then over the one that had just died. And in the emotions, and if you remember when his aide that he characterizes as a good young man was killed, the grief that he felt. And he prays over that soldier that just died. Then he turns around to find this coward. What are you here for? What's my nerves, sir? And he slapped him. Missed in the memory and the political brouhaha was the genuine heartfelt reality of this general that had fought through thick and thin, had moved from the cavalry to pioneering tank warfare when those original tanks were cans of self-destruction. He knew what it was like to be in the midst of the battle. And the agony you must feel as you see these fresh young recruits who've never faced a true firefight with the enemy. And I see these young people that have been raised under my teaching. I'm the only pastor they've ever known. Suddenly thrown into the midst of the front lines of Ephesians 6. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against Archos, rulers assigned from Satan, the prince of the power of the air, Exousios, functional activity rulers, Cosmokratoros, world rulers of this darkness, Demoticus, hosts of spiritual evil beings in the air about us. These young people will come on the front lines every day as Satan tries to silence this ministry going up. They're not ready for it. And I admire my wife. She followed her feelings and talked to the father about encouraging the boys that are learning the hard way that what carried them through the years and going to school is not enough without the armor of God when you're on the front lines. Even you members who sit in the congregation know nothing of the day-to-day battle where we fight to keep this message covering the whole earth. I want the scene to percolate into your brain that if you're doing anything for God, you're going to face in the land of the living what David's going to start talking about. I've at least been honest with you and told you, come to God and all hell will break loose. I don't preach that rosy-tinted Christianity, a little trip to the altar, get you out of all troubles down here. If you're not having trouble, and if you don't have enemies, and I want, each time I use the word enemies, I want you to go home and read Ephesians 6, that number of times. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. The enemies in Palestine, the armies that came against David, they typify the spiritual enemies of evil that we fight, who find free rein in the world. If you were of the world would love its own. You're not of the world because I've chosen you out of the world. Therefore, the world hateth you. In the world, you will have tribulation. The servant, you and I, no better than the master. Now, with that context, let's start out in the land of the living. If none of this fits you, you're dead. Or a dead Christian. What is the land of the living? Verse 2. When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh. Don't go any further. We're just describing the conditions of the land of the living. Any of you over the last week, last month, last year, confronted anything? It can be the demons from hell, the causes of sickness that came from Adam and his fall, that which was requited back our well-being by what Christ did, and I'll talk of that tonight. It could be attacks that the Satan brigade surfboards on. Life in the land of the living. This fit? Fit anybody? Not, I don't know what you're doing for God. The wicked, even mine enemies. Well, I don't have any enemies. Well, you're going to hell. Because if you don't have any enemies, you ain't serving God. Let me repeat that. Not because I think you're dumb, I just need to remind myself. Why this, God? Why are they doing that, God? What did I do to these people? What bug bit this asteroid orifice? You confront any road rage lately? On the news last night, a couple of people changed obscene gestures, and one of them rammed into the other one, turned him over and killed him. The devil is the prince of the power of the air. He ain't going to bother you until you turn toward God. This is the land of the living. If this fits you, at least you know you're living. How come? Are you all on another planet? Do you know what I'm talking about? Or you're coming here, well, I never have any enemies. What are you doing here? You let it be known you're here and you'll have some. You told anybody you go to Scott's church? It's the Lord's church, pastored by Scott. When the wicked. Well, I don't know anybody wicked. Well, then they must look like you. When the wicked, even mine enemies. Well, I don't have any enemies. Well, you ain't doing nothing. When the wicked, even mine enemies, and my foes. I don't have any foes. Oh. The devil likes you. Is that it? I don't have any foes. How many have no foes? How many have no enemies? How many never confront the wicked? Land of the living, folks. Normal. Came upon me. Well, they never come upon me. I just watch them come upon other people. To eat up my flesh. Now, I know you want to go to what will come later. They stumbled and fell. But that's not automatic. They stumble and fall if you follow through what I'm going to do. You got that? Land of the living, verse 2. Land of the living, verse 3. So rearrange this psalm, verse 13, land of the living. Go to verse 2, now verse 3. Though an host should encamp against me. Now don't go to my heart shall fear, or not fear, because I only put the pink on the host shall encamp against me. Do you really believe Ephesians 6? We wrestle not against flesh and blood, or do you get up like a goony goose every day and think, well, I don't see anybody bothering me. You know, some people right today in Los Angeles are more afraid of a mosquito carrying West Nile virus, and you ought to be afraid of it, of which probably less than 5% would even know it if they were bitten by it. And you are, thanks to the news media, made a little more aware of sort of tensing up when a mosquito buzzes around your ear. And yet you go whole days and weeks never even thinking. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual hosts of evil in the air about us. Invisible hosts that, like those that came against Israel at Rephidim, have one goal: to destroy your faith connection to God. Spiritual hosts. He had physical hosts. Though an host should encamp against me. The war. Skip over my heart shall not fear, because you're not ready for that yet. The war should rise against me. You underline this in order? And you know, you haven't got colors, so put a little one there, because this is the number one thing. We're describing the land of the living. The war should rise against me. You don't think you're at war? Why did Paul tell Timothy, fight the good fight of faith? I've been trying for months to stir this congregation to the wartime footing against the devil that saved this church 29 years ago. This is not a coasting church. We need a church full of Lance Armstrongs. Where did you all come from today? I can't see very well for these spots, but this does not seem to be my congregation. Are you here? Puerto Rican ice cream, Kroger, Lowe, Tomorrow, Rye, Rye, King, Shiny, Okamo, Noon, Ganui, Baton, Book, Key, Louis, On, Blood, Avel, Tai, Ella, Cadanza, Bro, Gross, On, Come on up. That's the way I'm going to talk if you don't wake up. I mean, you're sitting there looking at me moon-eyed like, I never heard of this before. I don't know what's going on. What bug bit the pastor? Enemies? War? We came here to be told how wonderful things are. Though war should rise against me. Well, let's try this one, verse 5. You ever have underlined just four words? Or make the fifth word, in the time of trouble, the land of living. Let's reverse the question. How many here are in a time of trouble? Is it that you just don't want to hear about it? Is that your problem today? In time of trouble, That's the land of the living. Well, then, who wants to live here? I don't. I'd like to go home, just like Paul. I'm ready. I just have this deal with, I'm sort of torn apart. I want the Lord to take my wife with me when I go, and I'd like the best of you to go with me. The rest of you, I don't want you painting me up there. In the time of trouble. You have time of trouble? Well, let's go to the 10th verse. Boy, this is a horrible picture. I doubt it's happened to any of you. But it's happened to some. And it's very graphically portraying the state of being forsaken. When my father and my mother forsake me. You ever been forsaken? When my father and my mother forsake me. Go to the 11th verse. Mine enemies. Go to the 12th verse. Mine enemies. Stay in the 12th verse. False witnesses are risen up against me. And stay in the 12th verse. Such as breathe out cruelty. Well, now, that's not a very good sales pitch for the land of the living. But how many are still here and on the page with me? Because we're going to talk about praise by those that live in the land of the living. And if the shoe fits you, you need this message. If you're one that can say you have direct experience with the wicked enemies and foes who would eat up your flesh, demon-possessed people in the clutches of Satan, but if they can't find those people to do it, spiritual hosts of evil in the air about us, war rise against us, time of trouble, forsaken, enemies. Now I then scotch taped and changed with colors. I'm going to go to another section of the psalm. Are you now with me in the land of the living? You know, I'm really appreciative of the fact that you're so used to heavy grammar, it's really hard to put the brakes on your brain and listen to something this simple. So this is for the simple that remain among this congregation. That know what trouble is. I called that section, What It's Like to Be in the Land of the Living, and I picked a color that looked like blood. Mark my Bible. What's my prayer in this land of the living? Verse 7. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. Based upon what I've just described, I don't think we got, I hate to say the colloquial statement, you would think we don't have a prayer in the land of the living. But we do. Here it is. And this is one of the messages that I fail if you don't take it home. And when you confront, if you aren't already in it, these troubles described in the land of the living. And you don't know how to pray in that circumstance, I suggest that this be a psalm. Like Psalm 18, where we learn to pray the names of the Lord. I suggest that you tab this psalm and say, when these things in the land of the living come upon me, this is my prayer. And you can sort of put a footnote on it. You can say, God, you're no respecter of persons. And I will prove before I finish this, you heard David pray this prayer, so how about me? Now, don't mouth it if you're not in the land of the living. God ain't interested in the mummy whispering. This is for people in the land of the living confronting what I just described. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. It's okay to yell at God. I used to scare my dad to death. You know, I guess he had a vision of hell, and he was a little more nervous about it than those of us that haven't had direct experience. But then I'd throw Bible at the wall, throw it at the ceiling, and Dad would go, oh, Jesus, help him, forgive him, Lord, and he'd walk out, and I'd just keep yelling at God. Yell! Talk to God like a desperate man. Then women, don't start whining. You talk to him like a man. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When thou saidest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Remember that, God? Well, now, the Lord never said to me, seek my face. Yes, he did. He just said it here. And he says it throughout his book. More times than David heard it. I'm listening for the first time, even though I'm in all this mess. You said, seek my face. I'm seeking it. Hear my voice. Man, that sounds like a Pentecostal preacher or something. Have mercy also upon me. Answer me. When thou saidest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me, put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. I like that prayer. I like that prayer. Mm. Bleep, bow, bleep, bow, bleep, bow, up, blah, bleep, bleep these enemies. Nay, Lord, help me. That's the way to pray. Don't give me this. Now, praise him on bended knee with adoration. Extend your hands in worship. We talked about those words, and I'll get there. But there's a time to let God know you mean business. I've had it with these enemies. They want to stay here, but you're bigger than them. Have mercy on me. Help me. Can't wait till tonight when I go to a passage where David is near to death and he got away with it. So I suggest that I put this in the footnote this morning and elaborate a bit tonight. He tells God when he wants to be healed. The dust where if I die, I will be buried in. That dirt ain't going to praise you. So if you want praise, keep me alive, Lord. That takes some spiritual gonads. I mean, that's treading awful close. What are you going to let me die for if you've forgotten God? How long since you've heard dust? Well, I know you said you can make the rock praise you, but dust is where I'm going to be. I'm not going to be a rock. You know, Jesus once said the kingdom's taken by force. To why I've always been pleased this is a man's church. The tragedy that to be a Christian, you got to be a sissy or a pedophile. Did he say what I think he said? Now, I'll tell you something. Moses was a man. Jeremiah was a man, though he called the weeping prophet. Jesus was a man. I'm not preaching sexism. I'm saying, if that's your gender, act like it. You know, like people coming to me, cowering up here. Could you spare a nickel? Hey, man, I'm hungry. Would you be so kind as to give me a dime? Yeah, but I'll give you a dollar if you'd ask for it. Find some courage. I'm really trying to get this message through, whether it looks like it or not. This is the kind of praying, not this, oh, dear blessed Lord, omnipotent, high, omniscient, and mighty, full of thy glory. God, I need your help! Oh, God of my salvation! Take me up! Verse 10. Verse 11, teach me thy way. Verse 12, deliver me not over to the will of the enemies. That's the prayer. Memorize it. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy also upon me and answer me. Verse 7, verse 8, when thou saidest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. 9, hide not thy face far from me, put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. That means God was mad at him. He gets mad at us. But you can ask him, I got it. I got the message now, Lord. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me. O God of my salvation, verse 10, take me up, verse 11, teach me thy way, verse 12. Still, verse 11, lead me in a plain path. Verse 12, deliver me not over the will of mine enemies. Well, now, what's the heart? What's the state of the heart which God can see? He knows the difference between someone who only cries out to him, however vociferously, only because you want the help, or whether the state of being of the one who's making that prayer that I just told you to memorize is tuned in such a way as to draw God's response beyond the mere fact of your need. What's the desire and the hope of this person who just prayed that prayer? Verse 4. One thing have I desired of the Lord. Can you say that? One thing have I desired of the Lord. That will I seek after. What is it? That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire or seek to be taught in His temple. Now, I know that has an ultimate meaning, because Jesus prayed that we might be with Him in the place that He is. And He said, I go away to prepare mansions for you. That's my house up there. Talking about His house. But in the context, this is the tent in David's day. It came to be sung later when the temple was built. It wasn't even the tabernacle that was at Shiloh. It was the tent that he built over the ark when he brought it back from the Philistines and danced before it. Just to be there in the presence of the ark, which symbolized God's presence. I wonder, let's bring it to home. This is the Lord's house. The church is a people that belong to Him. You don't have to look very deep within your soul to see where your priorities are. This is where He has said, where two or three are gathered together, there am I in the midst, a manifestation beyond His universal Spirit presence. One thing I have desired of the Lord, I work all week for Sunday. I would guess I work as many hours, forgetting the other administrative work that I have to do, most of which is taken off my shoulders by my wife Melissa, but administrative pastor, but she checks with me on everything. Just preparing for Sunday. Oh, you will get one message God allows me to preach. I'll probably prepare four or five. And sometimes He won't let me preach any of them, but I prepare. I would guess I work as many hours as anybody in this congregation. But I feel something happening as we turn the corner of Wednesday and we start moving toward the weekend. A joy in the knowledge that we will gather together in the heart of this city and be a spring from which the Word will flow to the world. I can say, I wish more of you that are listening and treat casual the trip to the cathedral. One thing have I desired of the Lord that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord. What do you think we're unfolding as we teach here? And to inquire or learn in His temple. For in the time of trouble, now I'll go to some of the connecting words. For in the time of trouble which we have in this land of the living, this is a place to come for the hours that we're here. He shall hide me in His pavilion. In the secret of His tabernacle shall He hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies. In the land of the living, the prayer that is uttered to God, I told you to memorize, comes from that heart that desires and hungers after God, as an earlier psalm, as the heart panteth after the water brook. Well, having prayed my prayer and stated my faith, or my desire rather, and my state of being, what impels me onward? My faith. And what is my faith stance? Now the color changes to green. I got the green light now. I'm over the red and the yellow and the blue. Now for the green. What's my stance? I had fainted. Well, that's added by translators. It's a gulp as he's described his troubles. Unless I had believed. No, no, no. Listen closely. Hey, amenti. Hey, I'm going to put amen. Amen. Hey, amenti. Unless I had, amen, come to that state of mind of which there's no doubt. There's another ingredient in this land of the living. Another ingredient Like that which Jeremiah 9 says, we learn to praise God because we come to understand His loving kindness. Here the word is from Tob. Good, just basic, unadulterated, unchanging good. I'd fainted unless I had amened and seen through the land of the living with the clouds of distress and war and enemies and pressure from the prince of the power of the air that has it temporarily until he is cast into that lake of fire. Bigger than those problems. Also, in the land of the living. Amen. To the goodness of the Lord. Wait on the Lord. The word means to wait expectantly. Wait expectantly. Because the goodness of the Lord is here also. And I am His. And He died for me. And He said He'll never leave me nor forsake me. And He said, to go to the New Testament, God enters into all things to work His good to them which are the called according to His purposes. I'm persuaded nothing shall separate us. I would substitute here the goodness of the Lord. They sang the song, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. I've quoted F.B. Meyer hundreds of times. The distress in the land of the living, it'll kill you if it's allowed to come between you and God and consume your vision. It'll make you if it drives you to God. We look not on the things which are seen. That's the land of the living. The obvious that confronts us everywhere we turn. But on the things which are unseen. The Lord and His goodness and His word. Amen to His word. He already amended, waiting for my amen. I'd fainted unless I'd amen to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. So wait expectantly on the Lord. Be of good courage. No. Be strong, and it's a derivative of that word Uzi that I have out of Psalm 84, where it says, Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee. Be strong in the Lord. That is His indwelt strength, which He promises to be with us and in us and to provide. We stand in the might. If you go back to Ephesians 6, there are those things we must stand in against these wiles of the devil. His might is one of it. Hear the Old Testament word, be strong. Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart. No. Wait for Yahweh. Be strong. Drink in His strength. Let your heart take courage. Yea. Amen. See. Or yea. Amets. Same word. I had fainted if I had no men. Amen. The goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Be strengthened by claiming the promise in faith and amen it. And let not courage, though it's a good 90% of faith. Rather, the literal is, wait for Yahweh, be strong, take in Uzi. Let your heart take amenets. Let your heart take in amening of God's promises. In other words, I had fainted if I hadn't amen the goodness of the Lord. Wait expectantly and be strengthened with the inner might which He promises to give us, asking for it. Go back to the prayer. You're my salvation. And have the courage, which is 90% of faith, which comes from coming to realize when God says it, He's going to do it. Amen to you, O Lord. And what are we amening as we wait for the Lord? Yahweh. Yahweh. Where is that? I'll change now from the green to my victory and my praise. Verse 1. This is where David started. This is where I'm going to end. What am I amening? What is going to strengthen me in this battle? What keeps me going in the land of the living? The first verse I've written in Hebrew, Yahweh, light of me. Pronominal suffix. Yahweh, Aori. We get lots of words from Ori that relate to light. It's the only time in the Old Testament it talks a lot about God giving light and speaking and saying, light be. But here's another name of God. This is the only time. It's just like last Sunday, Yahweh Roi. Yahweh Roi. Jehovah, or Lord, my shepherd. This is intrinsic part of his being. Wherever he is and wherever he comes, this is what he is. I can amen the goodness of the Lord. I've prayed the prayer. I'm going to say amen, so be it. I can wait expectantly with amen building up in me and his strength being placed in me because, verse 1, the Lord, my light, and conjunction, salvation of me, my salvation. The Lord, my light. Is that what your King James says? The Lord is my light. You notice the is put in italics. You don't need it. It's a name of God. He said to Moses, I will reveal myself by this name, Yahweh. I will show you what I want to be for my people. Out of your darkness and your distress, the Lord has promised to never leave us. And the Lord names himself my light. The Lord's my light. Look at all these fools wandering around in the darkness, thinking they're in the light. The Lord is my light. And Yeshua, my salvation. My Lord took that name upon himself. They shall call his name Jesus, which is Greek for Joshua. Jehovah, my helper, my savior, Yeshua. Oh, if you can't say amen to this, you're still going to wander around the land of the living trying to save yourself. The Lord, my light. The Lord, my salvation. And my salvation. Mimi, I love that. I can pun that. Mimi. Put the vowels in. Mimi. I think that's such a wonderful thing. Because it's literally of whom or whom. But you know, what I'm going to say next usually springs from this self-centered focus. Mimi. Okay, you Mimis. The Lord, my light. Jehovah, my salvation. Whom? I, Lord, shall I fear? Whom shall I fear? The Lord, my light, and my salvation. Sorry, I've been in your way, Lord. I'm not only in his way, I'm casting a shadow from his light. Just get out of the way. Back off. It's like the song, or run out the song, the passage in Isaiah. Who among you walketh in darkness and hath no light? And then you're warned not to have the first reaction, to strike a match and kindle your own fire and your own light. Because if that's what you're going to rely on, he's going to let you stand in your own light and fall into disaster. But rather trust, it says, in the name of the Lord. and then personalize the one that fits your position in the land of the living. Trust in your God. Whatever my distress in the land of the living. Now, you know, I've said it over and over, and like, you know, I'm really like most of you. I hear myself preach, and it's for somebody else. It's not for me. But how many times have I said, the more mature the saint, the worse the trial. You got more muscles, so you're going to have a tougher test. Yeah, have you ever heard that? How many 50 times? At least. That's somebody else, isn't it? Well, I think every year, I think this one is, okay, I've retired from tribulation now. And I'm going to tell you how I got here. The trials get worse and worse. And we get stronger and stronger. And if Paul, and I'll preach on it when we get there, in the fifth chapter says, the tribulation produces triedness. And triedness, because we made it that far, produces hope. We're going to make it all the way. The Lord is the light of me and the salvation of me. I got to pause long enough for it to settle in, because you're going to go right out of this place and try to save yourself. Because this fits somebody else. You're going to go right out of this place and just, I got to solve this problem. Get out of the way, God. You're too slow. The Lord is light of me, salvation of me. Whom? Me. Shall I fear? Yahweh. Strength of me. Emphasize my own. The life. You ever hear a Jewish person say to you, Hayim? Life. Hayim. Life or strength of me. The Lord is my light. The Lord is my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is my strength. Life for me. Life of me. The strength and life of me. Me. Whom? Afar. I like that. I can pun that too. Afar. Of whom shall I be afar afraid? It almost sounds like afraid. Afar. Whom shall I be afraid? Yahweh's my light, my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Yahweh's the strength and life of me. Whom? Of whom shall I be afraid? Say it about 100 times the next time you're ready to give up. The Lord is my life, my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Whom, or of whom shall I be afraid? I sort of get amused in the modern consciousness of the Islamic world. And their oft-repeated statement, there's one God, Allah, Allah. One God, Allah. Somebody needs to remind them and tell them to go to a Arabic dictionary. Because here are the opening words of Psalm 27. Arabu. Arabu. Their word, this is your definite article, the Lord. Rabu. They have a different word for Lord. They translate Yahweh. Rabu. Now that poses some questions. If Allah is the only God, there's only one. Where in the category does a Rabu fit? Fanaticism. Why, I spent some time on festival. They're as bad as missionaries that go into lands and forget that the deepest roots in every culture point back not to polytheism, but one God, and trace through the Sanskrit our common roots for Zeus and Theos, the names in the Greek for God and in the Greek mythology for Zeus. Same root, way back to the supreme one being. I throw that in because the Arabic is sort of interesting. They don't say Allah is the light of me. They say Arabu. Nori, the light. Again, this common root of Ori, the light of me. I find it funny because we have all these different names in the Old Testament. El, Elohim, Yahweh, Jehovah, Lord, Josh, or Joshua, and all the names of God. I'd hate to be in such a sick religion that I only can say one name when I talk to God. Wouldn't you? I like Jehovah, Lordy. That's my God, my light. I like Jehovah, Yeshua, my salvation. I'm Gene Scott. I'm not just Gene, I'm not just Scott. I'm William Eugene Scott. Get it straight. My God is Yahweh Aholi. My God is Yahweh Yeshua. Ahamka Yahweh. Ishki Yahweh. Sali Zuri. Boy, it's awful to be a part of a religion that has to just call God by one name. He wouldn't call himself just one name. Now, that's a parenthesis for fun. Can I have some fun while I'm preaching about this land of the living? I went to the Ethiopic. I wonder if they changed the name. Nope, they got this ancient old word. Ishki Abker. Ishki Abker. You know, the vowels are attached to the letter, 210 letters in our alphabet. Ishki, this gets the key on the end of it. Ishki Ab Kur. That's what this little circle is. And Yabar. Y E B A R H. Yabar. My light. But they use the same word. Abs, Ishki Abker, likewise the Syriac. Mar, Maria. Sort of fascinating in the languages to see that they're not willing to create new names for the diversity of God's revelation. That's why we dig and thank the Lord that He chose these two languages, the Hebrew and the Greek, to bring us His eternal Word in the blessed nature of the Logos, bringing forth a light for our path, the Word to guide us. Back to the point I departed. This is what cures us in the land of the living. This is why we won't faint. This is why we can amen the goodness of the Lord. This is why we can receive His strengthening through His Word, that He's key of His life in us because He promised it. And we can wait, amening, because the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life, and of whom shall I be afraid? Of those enemies, they stumbled and fell. Of the war, in this will I be confident. And where do I end? Go to the sixth verse. I offer in his tabernacle. That's what we're here to do today. This is the praise. I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I've given you seven words of praise. Here's another one. Ruah. 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 What is that? It's a blast. We already have the word ron, which is a shout. A shout of joy for deliverance. But here, this is why I had some of the songs this morning, like get all excited in the songs that they sang in the preliminaries. Because the word here, I will offer in his tabernacle, whispers, 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 I love you, Lord. No. No, if I had a trumpet, I'd blow it. The word means blast. Like when Reggie stands up and goes, blast! Is this the pastor we've had for 29 years? Yeah, I've suppressed it for 29 years, but the 30th one is coming on. I want you to know that all the nitwits in the gospel do not have a corner on blasting praise to God. What I said. The word ruah is a blast or shout of joy. They just call it sacrifices of joy. Well, it's a sacrifice, but the word translated joy, there's a different word for sacrifice, the traditional one. But the joy is one word here, and it means a blast or shout of joy. I will sing, Cherie. Yea, I will sing praises. Remember that word? Zamar. Making music in praise of God. Zamar. Making music in praise of God. That's what we've been doing in the preliminaries. God is not suffering from oversensitive eardrums. You don't have to shout to get his attention. But he wants to know that this is more than bringing my beads in a prayer chain. Oh, Lord, God Almighty, from whom all blessings flow, I ask you today to deliver me out of all of my enemies' oppressions, and to make this a pleasant day in the sunshine of thy love. And I will praise you forever. And even though those that really want to praise you drown me out, I just am too dignified to say, I will offer in his tabernacle, preceded by therefore. Therefore what? I know what the land of the living is. I'm living there. I know what the conditions are. I'm living in them. I know that God, through his Son, said, you have not because you ask not. So I've offered my prayer. Hear, O Lord, my voice when I cry. And scratch out, I'd fainted. Because I ain't even close to fame. That's added by the translators. That's a state they're in because they didn't rearrange this psalm right. I believe in the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I wait expectantly. Whatever I'm in, I could preach Psalm 84. Blessed men go through their valleys. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, who passing through the valley of weeping. You go through them. I know what the conditions of this faith walk subject us to. But I'm waiting expectantly because I know something the devil knows, and he's afraid I'm going to find it out in case I've forgotten it. The Lord is here also, and His goodness makes my way clear. For the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Therefore, will I offer in His tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, even I will. Yea, I will sing praises, Zamar, unto the Lord. And that's my message.